today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Darkest of night with the moon shining bright. There's a set going strong, a lot of things going on. The man of the hour has an air of great power. The dudes have envied him for so long. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Rockin' the Suburbs. My name is Patrick Foster, and on behalf of Jim Linehan, I want to welcome you to a new week of shows on our program. Today is another episode in our Heroes of Rock series, which examines contributors to the far-reaching genre of rock. From pioneers to superstars, little-known artists to trailblazers, one thing unites these heroes. They had the rock inside them, and they found a way to let it out. Today, Curtis Mayfield. Lee Mayfield was born on June 3, 1942, in Cook County Hospital in Chicago, the son of Marion Washington and Kenneth Mayfield. He was one of five children. Mayfield's father left the family when Curtis was five. His mother and maternal grandmother moved the family into several Chicago public housing projects before settling in the Cabrini Green Project during Curtis's teen years. Mayfield received his first guitar when he was 10, later recalling that he loved his guitar so much he used to sleep with it. He was a self-taught musician, and he grew up admiring blues singer Muddy Waters and Spanish guitarist Andre Segovia. In 1956, he joined a high school friend Jerry Butler's group, The Roosters, which also featured brothers Arthur and Richard Brooks. He wrote and composed songs for the band, who would eventually change their name from The Roosters to Jerry Butler and the Impressions. Jerry Butler and the Impressions had a top 15 hit in 1958 with For Your Precious Love, a doo-wop adjacent ballad that was a real breakthrough. But the billing of Butler as the frontman caused a rift, and he left the band for a solo career shortly after. It was at that point that Curtis Mayfield took over as lead singer and primary songwriter. And by the early 1960s, the group had trimmed down to a core trio: Mayfield, Sam Gooden, and Fred Cash, who replaced Butler. This lineup became the classic Impressions. Mayfield's falsetto-driven lead, his gospel-steeped guitar playing, and his gift for melody gave the group a distinctive sound built around three-part harmony rather than a single soul-shouting lead voice over backup singers. This was a more understated, blended vocal approach than a lot of their contemporaries used. Starting with Gypsy Woman in 1961 and running through the mid to late 60s, the Impressions racked up a remarkable string of hits. It's All Right in 1963 was followed the next year by Talking About My Baby, You Must Believe Me, and the immense Keep On Pushing.
Keep on pushing. Keep on pushing. I've got to keep on pushing. I can't stop now. Move up a little higher. Some way or somehow. 'Cause I've got my strength. And it don't make sense not to keep on pushing. Now maybe someday I'll reach that higher goal. I know I can make it with just a little bit of soul. 'Cause I've got my strength and it don't make sense not to keep on pushing. Now look a look, look a look, a look a yonder. Oh, what's that I see?
A great 1965 bought People Get Ready, which became the group's best-known hit, reaching number 3 on the R&B chart and number 14 on the Hot 100. The gospel-influenced track was a Curtis Mayfield composition that displayed the growing sense of social and political awareness in his writing. The song became a classic that has influenced a wide range of artists, from country singers through British, American, and Australian pop rock artists.
The train a coming. You don't need no baggage. You just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the dealers humming. Don't need no ticket. You just thank the Lord. The train to Jordan, picking up passengers coast to coast. Faith is the key. Open the doors and board 'em. There's hope for all among us love the most.
The late 60s saw the group release Woman's Got Soul, You Must Believe Me, and We're a Winner, among others. Many of these tracks were recorded in Chicago with arranger Johnny Pate, whose lush but tight horn charts became part of the signature Chicago soul sound. Many of the group's hits became anthems for those in the civil rights struggle, and the Impressions' vocal harmony style and Mayfield's songwriting had an enormous direct influence on Jamaican music. Bob Marley and the Wailers modeled their early vocal group format on the Impressions, and reggae artists cover Impression songs constantly throughout the 1960s and 70s. Mayfield was a prolific songwriter in Chicago, even outside his work for the Impressions, writing and producing scores of hits for many other artists. He also owned the Mayfield and Windy Sea labels, which were distributed by Cameo Parkway, and he was a partner in the Kurtom label, which he formed with Eddie Thomas, and which would release some of Mayfield's solo material. The name Kurtom was an amalgam of their two names, and he would go on to produce many records for the label. By the time Mayfield broke away from the Impressions in 1970, he'd spent nearly a decade writing songs that used gospel structure to deliver social commentary. Those songs established a formula: hopeful, communal, uplift-oriented messaging wrapped in church-derived melody. His solo debut, Curtis, from 1970, keeps that DNA but turns up the intensity considerably. The record was a commercial and critical success and was released 8 months prior to Marvin Gaye's What's Going On. The album's Move On Up is basically a direct descendant of the Impressions' Keep On Pushing, same message of perseverance, but with a much more ambitious layered arrangement, that famous horn and percussion breakdown that reflects Mayfield having more creative control than he ever had fronting a trio act.
Just move on up toward your destination, though you may find from time to time complication. Take nothing less than the supreme best. Do not obey, you must be forsaken, but you can pass the test. Just move on up to a greater day.
The commercial and critical peak of Mayfield's solo career came in 1972 with Superfly, the soundtrack to blaxploitation film Superfly, which was a number one hit and sold more than 12 million copies. Unlike the soundtracks to other blaxploitation films, most notably Isaac Hayes' score for Shaft, which glorified the ghetto excesses of its characters, Mayfield's lyrics consisted of hard-hitting commentary on the state of affairs in black urban ghettos at the time, as well as direct criticisms of several characters in the film. Because of the tendency of the genre to glorify the criminal life of dealers and pimps to target a mostly black, lower-class audience, Mayfield's album set this movie apart, with songs like Freddy's Dead, a song that focuses on the demise of Freddy, a junkie that was forced into pushing dope for the man because of the debt that he owed to his dealer, and Pusher Man, A song that reveals how many people in the ghetto fell victim to drug abuse and therefore became dependent upon their dealers. Mayfield illuminated a darker side of life in the ghetto. In short, Mayfield's songs supply the conscience the movie's script ignored. Along with What's Going On and Stevie Wonder's Inner Visions, Superfly ushered in a new socially conscious, funky style of popular soul music. Mayfield's guitar playing, that distinctive open-tuning, gospel-inflected style, had always been present in the Impressions recordings, and here it became a central element of his solo work. And he shedded the two other vocalists and a tighter arrangement format. In doing so, his total musical vision blossomed. He explored all kinds of soundtrack work in the wake of Superfly, including writing music for Gladys Knight and the Pips and Aretha Franklin to perform. In 1973, Mayfield released the anti-war album Back to the World, a concept record that dealt with the social aftermath of the Vietnam War and criticized the United States' involvement in all wars across the planet. He had number one albums in 1974 with Claudine, 1975 with Let's Do It Again, and 1976 with Sparkle, all three being soundtracks. Mayfield's music had been sowing the seeds for the blossoming of disco throughout his solo career, and he scored with his own funk disco blend on Doo Doo Wap Is Strong In Here from 1977's film Short Eyes.
So easy. Ain't no heaven, ain't no heaven.
By the time Mayfield decided to close his Chicago operation and move to Atlanta in 1982, Kurtom was down to a few artists. He continued to record occasionally, keeping the Kurtom name alive for a few more years, and he toured worldwide. One of the most interesting aspects of Kurtom is the amount of unreleased Mayfield music the vaults contain. One of pop music's most prolific artists, he recorded hundreds of songs that were never released. His penchant for recording everything in his mind was certainly an influence on Prince, whose Paisley Park vaults are rumored to contain hundreds of unreleased songs as well. In the summer of 1990, Mayfield became paralyzed from the neck down after stage lighting equipment fell on him while he was being introduced at an outdoor concert at Wingate Field in Brooklyn, New York. Although he was unable to play the guitar, he continued to compose and sing, which he found he could do by lying down and letting gravity pull down on his chest and lungs. The 1996 album New World Order was recorded in this way, with vocals sometimes recorded a single line at a time. Mayfield died from complications of type 2 diabetes on December 26, 1999, at the North Fulton Regional Hospital in Roswell, Georgia. He was survived by his wife, Athedia Mayfield, his mother, Miriam Jackson, 10 children, 2 sisters, a brother, and 7 grandchildren. For his groundbreaking synthesis of gospel, soul, and social consciousness, his visionary songwriting and guitar style, and the massive influence on both his contemporaries and generations of future musicians, Curtis Mayfield is a hero of rock.
We got to stop.
He loved his guitar so much he used to sleep with it.